The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier and Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A edition for this week. Flying solo today, Jim is on his way to the great state of Kentucky / Ohio. I'm not sure where he's going to land. He's kind of back and forth right there on the border, investigating how attractive he might find that area of the country to be for his potential retirement someday. If you listen to the show regularly, you know what I'm talking about. Today I'm flying solo, so this is a perfect time, and the timing couldn't be better. This is going to be an atypical Q&A show because it's going to be questions I pose that I suspect that you are wondering about regarding Social Security, because this week is the week when every year, about this time of the year, Social Security announces their adjustments for the upcoming year to include the cost of living adjustment for Social Security benefits, and there's been a lot of interest in this because the prediction has been that the Social Security COLA, cost of living adjustment, COLA, is going to be bigger than it has been for quite some time. And that'll be the first question I get to right here is, what is the COLA for 2022? Well, they just made the formal announcement. That formal announcement said that 5.9% is the cost of living adjustment for Social Security benefits for the upcoming year. Now, for those of you that are familiar with Social Security, you already know that Social Security pays 1 month in arrears, so they're technically adjusting your December 2021 benefit upwards by 5.9%, and it's payable to you in the following month, January of 2022. So that's the first point I would like to make, is that the benefits will be effective in the first received payment in 2022, and they do that intentionally. That's why they do the calculation, actually, from October to October for inflation. It isn't an annual calendar year that they're measuring inflation as the CPIW, technically. They do it October to October so that they can then release it or announce it in October and get the systems in place to do the calculation for the new benefit to take place in December. You'll all get your benefit letter in December letting you know of this official increase in your benefit. They'll tell you the dollar amount of that new benefit, and then it'll go into effect in the payment that you receive in January, which is technically for, like I just mentioned, the benefit from the month before. So more than you probably needed to know about how they implement the cost of living adjustment. But that 5.9% number, I think, is the biggest number in about 40 years. So that's a big number, especially based on recent history. The past 10, 15 years, we've had very, very low cost of living adjustments. So one point related to this is where you're going to get probably more information than you wanted, but the additional information we typically supply on this show is that people have been hearing that inflation right now is transitory, or this is kind of a blip. It's not kind of the new normal, if you will. I wouldn't expect us to have 5.9% inflation year over year for an extended period of time in a modern country like the United States. But the question always comes up, well, what if next year inflation is negative, right? Maybe this was really transitory, like the Federal Reserve has been predicting, and prices actually drop a little bit before they continue on more of a normal path of 2.5 to 3% inflation, which is kind of the Fed's target and long-term experience here in the United States. So can our Social Security go down? No, it cannot. There cannot be a negative cost of living adjustment. But this doesn't mean that your benefit will always receive this full 5.9 and then you won't go down and then you'll just go up every year every time there's a positive inflation calculation. The inflation will have to, and it's a little hard to explain on the podcast without showing you something. It's not a visual medium, but let's pretend inflation was a negative 2% next year and they don't drop your Social Security. Then the year after that, inflation is 3%. Well, they're not that next year in 2024, you know, in 2023, in my example, the inflation would have been negative. They don't apply a negative cost of living adjustment. But then in 2024, the COLA is a positive 3% because of inflation. They're not going to give you 3%. They're only going to give you 1% because they have to make up for the year that it was actually a negative inflation measure. So you might benefit, even though the inflation, the price inflation, the CPIW might be a transitory blip for this 1 year, and then it might draw back a little bit before it starts going on a more normal path for the United States upwards. You're not going to permanently benefit from this blip. It's going to be resolved if there is a negative inflation number. And we have had years in the past, if you go back and look at the historical record with Social Security cost of living adjustments, there have been years when inflation in the United States has been negative. They don't occur very often. The Fed hates that. The Fed hates deflation. They're scared to death of deflation for a variety of reasons beyond the scope of our conversation today. That'd be a whole nother show. But in those years, you look back to the COLA history and the COLA for Social Security was zero. Well, prices had to recover from the negative inflation and then increase from that recovered point before a cost of living adjustment was applied to Social Security. So that's kind of how that works. The good news is it won't ever be negative, but if there is negative inflation, what we call deflation, we'll have to catch up, make up for the negative first, and then go even more positive before you'll get another positive cost of living adjustment to your Social Security. So I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really expect a price decreases across the board, which is what CPIW is going to measure. It's not just about one thing. I think we'll certainly see individual prices for certain things decrease if this transitory effect resolves itself. But overall, I think there might be a slowing of price inflation moving forward. But it's, you know, factors beyond my control, and I certainly don't have a crystal ball, but that's just my expectation moving forwards. But I do want to clarify to people that you can't have a negative cost of living adjustment. Next question. Well, we know about the Social Security, but what about Medicare? Because Medicare Part B premiums are withheld from most people's Social Security benefit. How is that? Is that going to take away all these gains? Well, I've been reading a lot of chatter on the internet, people complaining about this exact thing, because they haven't formally announced it yet as of the recording that I'm making today. But the word on the street is Medicare Part B premiums are expected to go up by about 6.7%. Where that comes from is there's a lot of predictions that Medicare Part B premiums are going to go up by $10 per month from their current baseline $148.50 per month. Those of you paying Part B premiums now, for the most part, are paying that. There's a variety of reasons why you might not pay that. More for some people affected by Irma, less for some people that are protected by the hold harmless provision, which isn't protecting many people right now. I'll address that issue in a minute. But Part B premiums go up 6.7. So if you look at it, you might be, the complaining I've been seeing is, well, they're giving us 5.9, but it's all disappearing because our Medicare is going up by 6.7. Well, people are forgetting that Social Security benefits are way bigger on the, for the most part, than Medicare Part B premiums. 6.7% increase on Part B base premium of $148.50 is only $10. Yes, it's going up. That is a bummer, up by $10. But unless your Social Security benefit is also only $148.50, you're still going to get an increase. And in fact, the average Social Security benefit is about between $1,500 and $1,600. So for the average collector of Social Security benefits, a 5.9% COLA means about another $100 a month. So you're still net ahead a lot. Yes, you can complain about having to give back the $10, but you're still ahead on average by this $90 a month. So you might be able to tell I'm a little annoyed with the chatter about, oh, look, they're just out to screw us. They're giving us 5.9, but then taking 6.7, we're still losing. Well, you're forgetting math, I guess, is what I would say in that particular case. So Medicare Part B premiums, don't have the official announcement yet, but all the things that I've been seeing are predicting this $10 a month increase in the base Part B premium. I mentioned the hold harmless. I may as well bring that up now. So here's question number three I'll pose to myself. What is the hold harmless provision? Well, the hold harmless provision usually kicks in and helps people who are currently claiming Social Security and are on Medicare in times of very low cost of living adjustments for Social Security. That's not this year. This is an on average, a very high year, right? 5.9% is a huge number, way above the historical average for cost of living adjustments for Social Security. Hold harmless simply says your net Social Security benefit, and what that is the net payment you receive that is your benefit minus the Part B premium that is withheld. Your net benefit cannot go down because Medicare premiums went up. So what that's saying is, in a world where maybe your Social Security benefit only went up by $5, if they raise Medicare by $10, you are held harmless, or held without being harmed would be a better way to say it, but they call it the hold harmless provision. Your Medicare Part B premium will only go up by $5, even though the base amount went up by 10. And that's because if it went up by 10, your net benefit would actually drop by $5 because your Social Security went up 5, but the Part B went up by 10. You're a net loser in this case. They're going to protect you from that with the hold harmless. You're not permanently protected, though, because the next year, if the cost of living adjustment is big enough for Social Security, they're going to adjust it all back up to the full amount. It's not like you get a permanent protection, but in the short term, it does protect you from a net drop in your Social Security. Everybody's going to get caught up this year for the most part. I can't imagine anybody is going to be protected by hold harmless this year because a 5.9% increase in your Social Security is going to catch up all the past hold harmless that you might have been protected with. And now everyone's going to be paying the $158.50 unless you're paying more due to things like Irma. I can't imagine a scenario where someone has been held harmless and 5.9% increase in the Social Security isn't enough to dig them out of that hole, essentially. So that's how hold harmless works. That we're not going to hear much about hold harmless for a while until cost of living adjustments for Social Security dip down in the super low category again. It happens when Medicare goes up, but Social Security doesn't, then people who are already collecting and paying into Social Security are held harmless for a short period of time until Social Security increases again and gets them ahead. Next question. What's the earnings test going to look like next year, Chris, in 2022? Well, they do adjust those numbers as well. When the benefits go up due to cost of living adjustments, earnings test numbers also go up. Earnings test, as a reminder, is applied to you if you're claiming Social Security benefits below your full retirement age. Once you reach the month you reach your full retirement age, there is no more earnings test. That is a lot of confusion out there. I still see people out there talking about worried about earning later in life after they've collected Social Security. Once you reach your full retirement age, whether it's 66 and some months or 67, the month you hit that, you can earn as much as you want after that in other jobs, and your Social Security will not be reduced. Those other jobs might cause some taxation of Social Security to happen, so I would admit that can technically reduce your net benefit, but it's actually not reducing the benefit, it's just changing the way it might be taxed. But before your full retirement age, they're going to apply the earnings test, which means if you make in 2022 more than $19,560 a year, for every dollar you earn, this is in not in interest and dividends and things like that, but earnings from work, doesn't include pension either, it's earnings from work, over $19,560, for every $2 you earn more than that, if you're collecting Social Security, they're going to reduce your Social Security benefit by $1, so half of the amount you exceed the earnings test. That's in all the years up until the year you turn your full retirement age. In that year, you can earn in the months prior to your full retirement age. Remember, I mentioned the month you turn your full retirement age, there is no earnings test anymore. So just in the months before your full retirement age in that last year, the earnings test, instead of being $19,560, is $51,960. And if you happen to exceed that in those months prior to your full retirement age, the offset is only $1 for every $3 you earn above that limit. Now, there's some ways around this. If you work part of the year and retire and then take Social Security and you're below your full retirement age, there's a one-year application where you can have it done. Called a grace year, where they let you apply this earnings test on a monthly basis. But the general rule is those annual amounts have now gone up for 2022 versus what they were in 2021. Side note on that, if they are offsetting your own retirement benefits due to the earnings test, once you reach your full retirement age, they will actually recalculate your benefit and give you credit for those months they withheld your benefit. But that doesn't apply to survivor and spousal benefits. If you take a hit to the due to the earnings test because of survivor benefits you're receiving or spousal benefits, when you reach your full retirement age, they do not adjust you back up. Those are actual true lost benefits never to be seen again. Unlike your retirement benefit, your own retirement benefit, they actually will recalculate your benefit at your full retirement age, looking back at any of the months that they essentially withheld from you during the earnings test years, and recalculate your benefit. They don't give it to you as a lump sum. It'll be paid out to you over your life expectancy, essentially. But they will give it back to you in a way. So it's for your own benefit, it's a temporary loss. But for spousal and survivor benefits, it's a permanent loss when you have an offset due to the earnings test. Little side note there, everyone should be aware of. Next question, Chris. What's the maximum earnings that are subject to Social Security taxes now in 2022? Well, Chris, I'm glad you asked. In 2021, that maximum taxable earnings figure was $142,800. In other words, your first $142,800 was subjected to Social Security taxes. Of that, the Social Security portion of your payroll taxes was 6.2% for you, 6.2% for your employer. If you're self-employed, you paid both sides of that. Medicare is the other portion of that. Medicare makes up the other 1.45% of your payroll taxes. But that 6.2% you pay on the first $142,800 last year, which is this year, 2021. But in 2022, it's the first $147,000. So that's gone up now by $7,200. An additional $7,200 of earnings now will be subject to the 6.2% payroll taxes for Social Security that you and your employer pay. How do I earn a quarter of coverage in 2022? Well, first let me explain what the heck that is and why you want to earn one. To become eligible for Social Security benefits, you have to earn credits in the system. You have to earn 40 credits to be fully covered in the Social Security system. Fully insured is what they call it. So to accomplish that, you need to earn these credits. They used to be quarters. They still refer to them as quarters in a lot of circles, but I like to talk about them as credits because you don't have to earn them officially in quarters of a year increments. But you have to earn enough and participate in the Social Security system over a period of time before you qualify for retirement benefits and other benefits tied to being fully insured. And that number is 40. You have to earn 40 of those, and you can only earn 4 a year. That's where the quarterly comes from. And initially, you had to have earnings in every quarter of the year to earn 4 in a year. That was the old rule. You now don't have to have earnings in every quarter of the year. You can have all your earnings in one quarter and still earn 4 quarters or credits of coverage for that year. But to earn a quarter or credit of coverage, you have to have earnings in 2022 of $1,510. So the number's not very big. It's a little over $6,000 a year. So to earn 4 credits or quarters of coverage in a year, you need to earn, in a Social Security job, $6,020. You can earn it at any day of the year. Any day, any spread out, evenly, all in one day, doesn't matter. The only thing you have to be is alive during at least one day of each quarter of the year. That's a fairly unknown, or a very little known fact. And where that can come into play is when you're earning credits. If you pass away towards the end when you're trying to earn credits, maybe for your own benefit, which aren't going to help you because you're passed away, but maybe a survivor benefit for a spouse you're leaving behind. I have actually seen a case where someone earned plenty of money in the year they died in order to earn their 40th quarter of coverage. They earned it by March. Early in the year, they earned enough to get 40 credits, but they passed away in July. They didn't get 4 credits that year. They needed 4 more credits in order to qualify for benefits for them and leaving a survivor benefit for their spouse. They had to have lived until October 1st, which is the first day of the 4th quarter of the year, in order to be credited with that last quarter of coverage. Even though by March they had earned plenty of money to qualify for 4 credits, they had to have been alive until the 4th quarter. They just had to make it to October 1st. Passed away in July. One of the saddest stories I've ever seen as far as a, my gosh, I can't believe that happened kind of a scenario in regards to Social Security. Clearly didn't affect them. They don't need the Social Security anymore. They're passed away now in July. It made it so that the surviving spouse received no survivor benefit. Wasn't going to be enormous anyway. Obviously, this person had only worked 10 years in the system, but they needed it, and they got zero. It was horrific, but that's why I like to make this point of technically you have to earn the money and to be alive all 4 quarters, at least one day in each quarter in order to get the credits. So that's how you're going to become eligible to receive these benefits. Oh, next question. Let's see. Let's talk about bend points. This is a little confusing for people who aren't super into Social Security, but to understand how they calculate your Social Security benefit itself, it all starts with your earnings history. They look at your earnings history. They adjust your earnings into effectively the equivalent value in the year you turn 60, 60. What I mean by that is they look at your past history when they're going to figure out what your benefit is. And of course, you're going to have earnings when you were 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, etc. And we all know that what you made back when you were 25 was a lot less than you made when you were 50. Not just because you're higher up the food chain, if you will, you've had promotions and stuff, but also inflation, wage inflation, right? People just weren't paid the same 30, 40 years ago than they were today. So to adjust for that in this calculation, they actually adjust for wage inflation, your earnings, all into equivalent dollar figures for the year you turn 60, not 62. This is a fun fact. into age $60. From that, they then pluck out your highest 35 years of earnings. Doesn't matter when they happen. It's not your last 35. It's 35 of your best 35 after they've adjusted them for inflation. They then add them all together and divide by 420. The reason for that is they're trying to get to an average monthly earnings amount. It's called an AMI, average indexed monthly earnings. Indexed means indexed for inflation. They've adjusted everything for inflation. So they get to your average indexed monthly earnings. So that essentially is an inflation-adjusted reflection of the average amount you've earned over the 35 best years of earnings that you have in your earnings record. That's what that AMI is, A-I-M-E. The AMI then is sliced into pieces. And what I mean by that is Social Security is designed to replace a certain percentage of your AMI, your average working, you know, wages over your working life, looking at your best 35 years, all adjusted for inflation. Well, they don't treat all dollars as equal. They essentially make it so that the Social Security system replaces more of your lower wages than of your higher wages. The reason for that is they're trying to create a floor for people, and they're going to replace a significant portion of the wages of a low-wage worker, right? People who are just living paycheck to paycheck, you know, just barely making it by. If they have an AMI of $1,024 in this first example, they're going to replace 90% of that in your Social Security benefit. So your PIA, which is your Social Security benefit at your full retirement age, is going to be 90% of your AMI. If your AMI is only about $1,000, and I say it that way because in 2022, the first bend point is what they call it, is $1,024. So that means the first $1,024 of your AMI is going to be replaced at 90% in your PIA, your primary insurance amount. The next $5,148, so up to from $1,024 up to $6,172 of AMI, they're going to replace that at a replacement rate of 32%. Any earnings of your in your AMI above $6,172 is going to be replaced at only 15%. So that's how they calculate ultimately your retirement benefit, your PIA, which is your retirement benefit at full retirement age. They figure your AMI, the method I just described, the first $1,024 of your AMI is replaced at 90%. The next $5,148 of AMI is replaced at 32%. And then everything above that is replaced at only 15% of its value. Add those three figures together that you just calculated, and that is your primary insurance amount, the amount that all of your benefits are based upon. Your benefit at 62, your benefit at 70, the benefit for your spouse, the benefits for your kids, your benefits as a surviving spouse, all of that is keying off of the PIA. Adjustments are made downward if you claim before your full retirement age. Adjustments are made upward in your benefit if you claim after that. Adjustments are made to that number if you are affected by WEP, which we'll get to in a minute. And then so spousal benefits, survivor benefits, child benefits are all based upon your PIA when they're looking at your record. So the PIA is the key figure in your relationship with Social Security as far as your benefits go. Those bend points have now increased. Not at the 5.9%. The bend points increase actually at wage inflation. And because we get really nerdy on this show, I'll reveal to you that the bend points for 2022 are actually based on wage inflation data from 2020. It's 2 years in arrears. So the wage inflation in 2020, so between 2019 and 2020, wages went up by 2.8%. So these bend points all for 2022 went up by 2.8% over what they were last year in 2021. And that's where the 1,024 and the 6,172 figures come in. Those are the wage inflation adjusted bend points that are now used in your current primary insurance amount calculation. Whew, it's a lot of weird terminology, I know. So hopefully you followed all that. Next question, I mentioned WEP, the windfall elimination provision. Chris, what now is the maximum WEP offset? Because that's affected by this inflationary thing that we've got going on here. Well, it turns out that when do the bend points go up, and why does that make any difference? How do bend points affect WEP, one might say or ask? Well, it's because the maximum WEP is 50% of the first bend point. So I mentioned 1,024. Those of you who know how this works have already done this calculation in your head. Half of that is $512. So for someone turning 62 in 2022, your maximum WEP offset is $512. Last year, 2021, if we're talking about 2021 as the last year, $498. In other words, if you're affected by WEP, the windfall elimination provision, which not too many people are, well, there's a lot of people, just as a percentage of the population, not too many people are. These are folks that have Social Security and simultaneously worked in a job that didn't pay into Social Security. Maybe they worked as a teacher or government employee of some kind and received an alternative retirement plan rather than Social Security. If you have the combination of traditional Social Security and one of these, what's called a non-covered pension from work outside of the Social Security system, you are likely affected by WEP. Now, there's things that will protect you from WEP. If you have enough years of substantial participation in Social Security, you can ignore WEP. Substantial participation to avoid WEP completely is significant. 30 years of substantial activity in Social Security, and I don't have time in this show to go through what that means, but for those of you curious, you can look it up. Just look up the brochure, the WEP, WEP brochure from Social Security, and they talk about what represents substantial participation in Social Security. And you can add up your look at your earnings record and see if you have 30 years of that activity considered to be substantial, and then you can ignore WEP if you're one of those. But if you have less than 20 years of substantial participation in the Social Security system and you have one of these non-covered pensions, your WEP offset is $512. Now, there's other protections too. If you have a tiny little government pension, the WEP offset will never be more than half of that small little non-covered pension. So they do protect you from maybe going and working for 2 years as a teacher. You're not going to take a full $512 cut to your Social Security benefit. But if you have a good-sized teacher or government pension and a good-sized Social Security, and you don't have over 20 years, you know, 20 or more years of Social Security participation at the substantial level, whatever benefit you think you're going to get from Social Security, cut that by $512. That's effectively what's going on here. Now, this number is different depending on in what year you turn 62. This number is done every year. And the reason why 62 comes in is that officially, your official retirement benefit is discovered in the year you turn 62. It's when you turn 62 that they finally put the pencil away, because what they've been doing is telling you the estimate for your benefits in pencil, telling you this is subject to change. We're going to update this. We'll erase it, and we're going to update this every time you report new earnings as you move forward. But now that you're 62, we're going to write in the book your official primary insurance amount. And they're going to write it now in pen. I guess it could be erasable ink, because there are some things that can adjust your PIA after you turn 62. One is continuing to work and earning a bunch of money. Your PIA could go up. But once you turn 62, nothing you do after that will cause it to go down. That's the good news. But the WEP then is maxed at that year that you turn 62. The WEP offset maximum applies. Now, just so you know, those of you following along at home, you technically could have your Social Security benefit reduced by more than this maximum. And this is typical Social Security. They call the maximum offset. You think, well, that's the maximum it could possibly be? No, not quite. And that's because the 512 actually reduces your PIA. What if you were waiting until age 70 to claim and your full retirement age was, say, 67? Well, your benefit was going to grow by 24%. Well, they reduce your PIA first by the 512 before they grow it. So that means the offset to your age 70 benefit is 24% higher than it would be if you were claiming at, let me back up, full retirement age, maximum offset 512, but your age 70 benefit could have been reduced by $635. So I do want to make that, I've heard some from some people, we talk, they've either read or they've heard me talk about the maximum WEP offset, and they write to me and say, no, my benefit's being reduced by more than that. How can they be taking more than the maximum? Well, it's because you delayed, and the effects of that reduction is magnified by the delayed retirement credits. So just know there's that issue. The other issue that can happen, this has a trickle-down effect. Because WEP reduces your full retirement age benefit, your PIA, and spousal benefits are based on your PIA and child benefits, WEP not only reduces your benefit, but will reduce a spousal benefit for your own spouse, even though they didn't work in a government job, because your PIA has actually physically been reduced by the WEP. So, little fact there. Another little fact you should know is WEP goes away when you die. So WEP does not reduce the survivor benefit that you might leave behind for your spouse. There's other things that can affect that. But you having WEP during your life, that actually stops when you pass away. So even though while you were alive with your spouse, their spousal benefit might have been reduced a little bit, but when you pass away and they inherit your benefit essentially, it'll go up from what you were getting because they'll remove the WEP offset. Another, you know, not so well-known fact about how all this works. Let's see what else I need to ask myself about these changes to Social Security. Well, just so you know that, so you kind of know what average people get from Social Security. If we look at all retired workers, their average benefit last year in 2021 was $1,565. The average benefit now is $1,657. An aged couple, if they're both receiving, so if you want to think about a couple, what does an average couple in the United States receive from Social Security benefits together? It's gone up to about $2,800 a month. So you can see why people can't really live well, certainly on just Social Security benefits. A couple both claiming, maybe each have their own small benefit, or one's claiming a full benefit, one gets a spousal benefit, something like that. About $2,800 a month is the average of what you are receiving now, which is up from $2,600 a month previously in 2021. I think those are the main questions I wanted to ask myself here. Hopefully you found them of interest. And I know there's probably none of you were shocked about the 5.9%. I know that, you know, everybody was waiting for the official announcement to happen and then they all tweeted it out. We didn't, you know, I didn't tweet out anything on this because I knew we were going to do this show. And I guess me, myself, and I were going to do this show for you to talk about these Social Security changes. Hopefully I've added some detail and facts and figures that you didn't get from the tweeters out there, the folks out there who, you know, raced to be the first one to let all their followers know that the COLA is 5.9%. If you haven't heard that yet, I'm glad I shared that with you. It's fairly new information, but now it's about 4 days old. But I bet they didn't talk to you about all the other details that I shared with you. Now, some of you probably didn't find it very interesting at all. For that, I apologize. Next week, we'll be doing a completely different show. A couple weeks from now, I think at some point, we're going to be doing another show. We've got a pile of tax questions coming up that I'll have Bob back on the show for. Jim will be back on the show next week, is my understanding, because he'll be all set up. He'll get his remote studio set up in Ohio, where he's... he was doing an Airbnb or something like that, and we'll, assuming his technical glitches don't re-arrive, we'll have him on the show again next week. We'll do some more traditional questions, but this was a perfect timing for me to do a show on what's up with Social Security as we move into 2022. Those of you receiving this 6% increase, Congratulations. I know you've been waiting a while. It's been a while since there's been a significant increase in that. So if you have any questions about anything that I said, now's a good time to send it in. So we will get this. I'll turn right around and answer them on the next podcast. The way to send in questions for the Q&A show, which I apologize if you have a question in the pile, and I didn't do it because I did this goofy Social Security show. But if you want to send in your own questions, just go to our website, jimhelps.com. That's jimhelps.com. On there, you'll find a contact form. You can submit questions that way, or you can submit questions directly to Jim. He's the official collector of questions. Jim's email address is jim@jimhelps.com. And just make it clear in the subject line that it's a question for the podcast. And hopefully what I've said has been pretty clear, but I know some of this, Social Security is far more complex than most people give it credit for. So if you do have questions about your circumstances or something I said in particular today, let me know. I'd be happy to answer the question for you here on the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A edition. So thanks a lot for listening to me drone on. I know it's not as exciting as having someone else to listen to, but hopefully I gave you some interesting info, and I'll be back with you next week with a guest this time, probably Jim. So I'll be back next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Salmier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Salmier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's jimhelps.com or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salmier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.